America's Heart and Home.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of IR and its advertisers or affiliates.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing us the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guests. And for this hour, our guest is going to be Bob Chapman, and we're going to be talking about what's going on financially throughout the world. And those of you who are watching the world know that today the stock market was down about 250 points. Gold, as we've been anticipating, has really begun to skyrocket, closing at 670, pardon me, at 690 today. I mean, it's really been going up dramatically. Silver is up, as our guest Bob Chapman has been anticipating. Even more than that, of course, the European Central Bank had poured out, I don't know how much, 40, 50, 60 billion dollars trying to stabilize their currencies. The Federal Reserve Bank is pouring money out or opening, they're offering to lend money to the banks. What they're trying to do is increase liquidity because there's a shortage of credit. There's a shortage of money out there, even though the world is awash with money. And the banks have been pouring money and credit out for a long period of time. And despite all the money that's out there, why they're having to put out more to keep this whole thing afloat. And of course, our good friend Bob Chapman does keep track of the M3, which the government is concealing. It doesn't want you to know what it's really doing. And what it's really doing is laying the basis for a rampant inflation in America that will wipe out the savings and the wealth of most of the people in this country. And that is the background. Hi, Bob. How are you doing tonight?
Well, pretty good.
Well, things are really moving right along, aren't they?
They are, unfortunately, but that is what we expected, and that is what's happening.
Well, now, certainly there's plenty of money out there. Certainly they're increasing the credit, the M3, money and credit, by about 13.8% a year, which is highly inflationary, and there are really billions of dollars out there that are being used for all these acquisitions. They've been pouring money out to the credit through the carry trade. So why is it that the Federal Reserve and the European Central Bank have to be pouring more money into the system?
Well, it's because, and you're not going to read this in any of the journals or hear it any of the media, and that is, there is a conflict among the bankers. And what happened was, in order to save the American economy and the world economy, Alan Greenspan was set about with the job of lowering interest rates and cranking up the real estate market. And they wrote all kinds of loans to people who should never have had them. And they had to find out how to get rid of those loans. And I think that they sold them to a lot of people who didn't know what was going on. But they should have been watching, because if they looked at the kind of construction of the bonds that they were buying, they would have realized that it wasn't AAA.
But of course, they were assured it was AAA by Merrill and by all these big companies. They were told these were AAA bonds, nothing to worry about. And the trouble was, they were collateralized debt obligations that should have been sold as junk bonds. They really weren't. And we'll be right back. Go right ahead, Bob.
So there, I think, was a collusion between other central banks, and whether we'll ever find this out or not, I don't know. But I suspect there was collusion with other central banks that told investors, and these are professional investors, and other banks within their system, etc., to accept this paper, because if we don't accept this paper, then the whole thing's going to come crashing down on all of us. That, I suspect, in many instances happened. And so where they're at now is that those who were not involved and didn't know, which obviously were majority, well, they won't lend to anybody. They've got money, they've got credit with the central banks, but they won't lend. They won't lend to other banks. They don't trust their collateral. They don't trust anything. And this situation is no better now than it was a month ago. And central banks admit to pouring $350 billion into the monetary systems of each country. But my figures show $750 billion, and I think it could be considerably higher.
All right, no,
and so that's what's happened to that market. And it's the same now as it was a month ago. And another thing is that between 9/11 and 9/18, there's $113 billion worth of what they call subprime commercial paper bonds that have to be rolled over. And I don't think anybody is going to take them.
Well, then what's going to
happen? I think it's going to create a secondary crisis. And we're nowhere near the end of this thing. I mean, we're just getting the beginning of the beginning. This whole monetary system throughout the world could collapse. You got to remember that the foreign exchange holdings of foreign central banks is made up of 64.75% U.S. dollars. So the dollar goes, and it broke down today below 80 on the USDX, which is the dollar index, which is the dollar versus six other currencies on a weighted basis. Euro makes up half of it.
Hold up. We'll be right back here.
Et cetera.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob Chapman basically says that the reason that we're in the mess we are today is because had all these bad debts. They put them into collateralized debt obligations. They talked banks into the world, all across the world, into accepting these, saying, if you don't take these, the whole system's going to come down. And it would appear the system's coming down anyway. After 9/11, and for the week after that, a large number of loans, subprime loans, are going to have to be rolled over. And where's the money going to come from? Nobody trusts anybody. The bankers are concerned. The hedge funds are concerned. The pension funds are concerned. Everybody has these subprime loans that are non-performing, and the whole basis of the world monetary system is beginning to convulse because all of these people hold bonds and they don't know whether they're any good at all. Bonds are the very foundation of our phony fiat money system, and if those bonds are non-performing, then of course the banks can't meet their obligations, and the heavily leveraged hedge funds, you know, they can get into real trouble, and certainly a lot of our banks that are guaranteed the hedge funds with derivatives can get into trouble. And will you pick up this story, Bob?
Well, the bonds that have been sold in the AAA, AA, and single A category have been sold for 25 to 50 cents on the dollar. The ones that are BBB and BB have sold from 15 to 25 cents on the dollar. And there's actually no telling what the paper's really worth. And the whole collateralized debt obligation and asset-backed securities is upside down. There is simply no way to sort it out. And some of these instruments within the instruments, which are the bonds, are so complex that there's no way to sort out what they really are. The only ones that know are the people who wrote them in the first place. The French government sent some people over to New York to look into it, and they said, we can't discern what these things are worth, so they stopped three funds from allowing people to take money out of the funds. And I think what's going to happen is that the hedge funds are going to be in extreme trouble. Many, many of them will go under. And mutual funds are holding these. Nobody's saying that they're holding it. We don't know who's got them. There's no records. And I was told by a hedge fund manager today and a banker, the same thing, that even the money market funds are corrupted with these things, although not on the scale that hedge funds and others are. Pension funds could hold as much as 3 to 4% of their portfolio in these things, and already hundreds of companies, singular companies, have lost their investment in these things. I mean, how would I put it? They just can't simply redeem them. In some instances, they're being paid with long-term bonds, which go out 8 or 10 years. And money market funds, by regulation, can't hold long-term paper. So the disruption that's going on out there, the people just don't have a clue. Well, and I don't think half of Wall Street knows either. But I do. And what you're hearing on this program, you're not going to hear anyplace else.
All right, so what do you think is going to happen next? So the pension funds are in trouble, the money markets are in trouble, the hedge funds are in trouble, a lot of the banks are holding these items. Insurance companies into them as well?
And pension funds.
Okay. So what's going to happen? Do you think that they're just going to have to eventually write this off? And what are we talking about, a $600 billion, a trillion dollars?
Oh, no. You're talking in the trillions. You're talking $3, $4, $5 trillion.
Well, you're
talking about the collapse of the financial system in the entire world. This is what they're trying to avoid.
Well, what about...
And they can't find a way to do it, and they created the problem.
Well, did
and
the, did
they
the
just
Chinese
didn't know what was going to happen.
Did the Chinese get stuck with any of these? I know they've
been... Oh, they're loaded with them.
Are they really?
Big time. That's why they've been selling treasury paper for the past 3 months.
So, of course, the thing that everybody's concerned about is with the Chinese holding $800 or $900 billion worth of U.S. dollars, that they're going to begin selling those dollars, you know, and this would really begin to flood our economy with a tremendous amount of a number of these dollars. We've been exporting our inflation for years. If it ever comes home here, it'll simply wipe out the value of the dollar and impoverish all of our people.
Well, as I said today, and 2 days ago this happened, and then there was a rally back up through 80.
You're talking about the value of the dollar.
Yeah, on the dollar index. And it closed at 79.95 or approximately. And if it stays down there for two or three more days, it's going to be a real problem.
Has it ever closed below 80 before?
That's, yes, it has.
Okay.
Over a 23-year period, the low is, I think, 79.33. It was some years ago.
All right.
And, but it's going to break. And as you say, they have been exporting inflation for years. And where it is most evident is in countries that do a lot of trade with us. China, Japan. And it's interesting in Japan, with all of the inflation that's generated from the dollars that they take in, and they have something like $953 billion, you would think the Japanese economy would have inflation, and it doesn't to any great degree, maybe 3%. And it shows you how deeply in depression that Japan is. They have never come out of depression. And they refuse to purge their system. And I think everybody's going to have their system purged, whether they like it or not.
Well,
because this is out of control. The central banks can't control it. And so you say to yourself, oh my goodness, after hearing all that, what do? You buy gold and silver related assets. It is the only real haven. And if you don't do it, you're sunk.
Well, the thing
you're going to lose 60 to 90% of what you own, and maybe all of it.
Well, you know, the thing is that certainly the Japanese have not been investing. They've been putting their money in the banks. They've been putting it in savings. And yet, of course, if what we talk about should happen, and they suddenly massively inflate the value of their currency over there, these people who, for the last 15 years or more, have been saving their money are going to see it all wiped out. The value will be wiped out by inflation in a very, very short period of time when all the dollars involved in the carry trade come home to Japan.
Well, the carry trade is probably singularly the biggest problem, because that is what the U.S. Federal Reserve and the central banks have been using to create the liquidity that's been out there, this great sea of liquidity, over the past several years. Interest rates in Japan are 0.5% or 1%, and they lend money out as 5/8 or 3/4, and people take the money, convert it into dollars, run down and buy treasuries, and they net out 3.5% with no risk. Now the risk is ameliorated by the use of derivatives, which is like shorting against the box. And so there's just no way out of it. They're in a box and they can't get out. And see, what they're deathly afraid of, the people who created this problem, which I call the elitists or the Illuminati, what they're deathly afraid of is their scheme is going to be exposed like it has been a few times in the last 1,000 years. And they think that they will be brought to justice for doing what they've done. And they're scrambling and running around trying to make the thing work, because they see what the result will be if they're not able to make the system to continue to work.
No, because they can always blame it on Osama bin Laden, who's been dead for some time, but they can always blame him for their terrible...
Well, that's mistake. Part of the fiction that the American public, at least half of them, takes hook, line, and sinker. And it's the biggest scam I've ever seen. And, very few people get it. The people in Washington, the executive branch, and Congress are all in on it.
Well, just the thing is that the Federal Reserve System was created back in 1913 to give us a stable currency and prevent the boom and bust cycle. Well, what the Federal Reserve System has been used to enrich the people who created it, and through the years they've destroyed probably 96 to 97% of the value of the dollar in 1913. And they've made fabulous fortunes, generation after generation after generation. But imagine what will happen when the American people find that they've been lied to all this time, and the average American's going to lose literally everything they spent their life working for. Well, go ahead, Bob. Certainly gold and silver have started up. Do you think it's going to be maintained? Do you think this will be a very, very temporary move?
Well, as you know, the last time I was on here,
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Increased credit for the whole world, in other words, by keeping their interest rates down at 1% or 0.5%, and they're just pouring the money out. Why, of course, they're increasing their currency, what, about close to 20%?
Who?
Japanese.
I don't know what their figure is. I know it's in the 10 to 20% category, but I don't have any figures. The European Central Bank is about 12. Great Britain, the Bank of England, is it's been gyrating from 13 to 12.2. It's around 13.7 right now. And, you know, Russia's way up. China's way up. You know, China's like 18.8, and Russia's like 53.1. And so you got it going on all over the world.
But of course, down a few years down the line, and this is reflected in their inflation rate, isn't it?
It takes a year to a year and a half.
Right. And of course,
but what you're seeing now with the central banks is they're lending out money supposedly on a short-term basis, and supposedly the money is being paid off. Well, I got a bridge for sale if you're interested. These people are as crooked as a dog's hind leg, and they will tell you anything at any time. They're voracious criminals, and that's what banking is all about. And they are lying about everything. And what they're doing in lending this money, they're taking in assets. Part of the assets are CDOs that are worth 15 to 25 cents on the dollar. And so they're just stuffing them into the monetary system, which they'll hold. In return, they're giving these loans out against the collateral, which will probably never be collected. Now, when the Fed or any other central bank lends money and they take securities in turn, and if the securities don't go back to the original owner and the funds come back to the central bank, they call it monetization. And it is immediately inflationary. So over the next 6 months to a year, if you think what you're seeing with 11% inflation now is bad, get ready. It's going to be horrible. In fact, in my latest issue, I said plan on paying $15 for a loaf of bread, which now sells for $3. This is where these people are headed.
And of course,
I can't be strong enough in telling you, your only real haven is gold and silver-related assets. And if you don't accumulate them, you're going to be sorry.
Well, of course, we're seeing a wheat getting up to $8 a bushel. It's never been that high that I can remember before. And that's the current cost of wheat. And of course,
that was caused by different factors.
Right.
Although inflation was involved. We've had dreadful weather throughout the world, particularly in countries that grow wheat. And so the crop hasn't been as good as it could have been. But on top of that, the real problem is caused by people who farm switching to corn. And the reason why is corn is being used in this idiotic scheme promulgated by our president to create ethanol to cut back on the importation of oil. And it's not going to work. Ethanol doesn't produce as much power. It produces as much, if not more, terrible stuff into the air. And it is not good on engines. Now, this is corn ethanol. There are two other ways they can make ethanol that they know of. One is with sugar, which Brazil does, and that doesn't affect the price of other grains and beans. And the other is wild grass, which they can plant, and that doesn't affect anything. But no, they didn't want to do that, because it's part of bringing America to its knees, as a matter of fact, the world. And another thing is...
Hold that thought, Bob. We're going to have to just take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment with our good friend, Bob Chapman. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening, Bob Chapman. We're talking about what's going on in the world. In fact, Bob feels that we'll be paying $15 a loaf for bread. What do you figure? That's a couple of years off, Bob?
Probably within the next 3 years.
All right, fine. Well, we'll just wait and see. I wouldn't be surprised, though. Certainly the prices of so many things are up 15-20%. Certainly the price of eggs and chicken and beef and orange juice and milk. All of these things are going right through the roof, and the government insists, well, of course, there's really no inflation unless you look and see what's happening to food and the other things you buy, but you can trust us, there is no inflation, nothing to worry about, just don't be concerned. Well, you think that it's really going to be a terrible, terrible shock to people one of these days when they wake up and they find that they've been lied to, just like people are lied to throughout the world, just like the Argentine government lied to their people before they stole 3/4 of the value of their life savings, and like the Russian government lied to the people in the 1990s. This could be a catastrophe for the American public, couldn't it?
Well, it is going to be a catastrophe. And as I was saying, ethanol is a way of bringing people financially to their knees, not only in America, throughout the world. It's a way of reducing population because the high price, the high cost of these different grains and beans is not going to allow the very poor of the world to be able to eat, and they're going to die, which these people think is wonderful because they think that we should have reduced populations. And it's going to make an awful lot of money for Archer Daniels Midland ADM Corporation, which is one of the top people in the Illuminati. They own 85% of the distillation projects that make this ethanol. So there's always more than one thing that these people are after when they pull a caper like this. And that's really what it's all about.
Well, I think we're in for some very, very real problems, and I share Bob's concern, and I really think that all we can do is warn the people and try to get them to get out of debt as much as they can, and then, of course, to get as much of their assets as they can into things which have inherent value, because if they don't have them, then the ravages of inflation will do to the American people. What's actually happening in Zimbabwe and Africa today. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Bob Chapman. And before we go on, Bob, I'd really like you to tell our listeners how they can get hold of the International Forecaster and perhaps, if they want to subscribe to your publication, which I look forward to coming twice a week. Go ahead.
Well, the Forecaster is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. We publish by email on Wednesdays and Saturdays, usually 25 to 30 pages, and we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month. If you'd like to access our site on the Internet, get a free copy through there. That address is theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, FORECASTER.com.
All right.
If you'd like to call toll-free and get a copy, that number is 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
Well, my understanding is that there have been tremendous layoffs in the financial market, in other words, countrywide, which was the largest writer of home loans in the country. It's laying off something like 20,000 people, and many of our brokerage houses are laying off people, and certainly many of our financial institutions and other institutions are really cutting back dramatically. Somebody just said that the figure was not 20,000, but 120,000. Do you have any idea how far countrywide is really cutting back?
Well, first of all, right now they have 60,000.
Oh, 12,000. Okay, 12,000.
Yeah, right now they have 60,000 employees. They cut 1,400, taking it to 60. I saw them come out with two different figures, 58 and 60. And I projected earlier this week that they would lose 40,000 of 60,000 employees, and they would be absorbed probably by Bank of America, which now owns 18%. But that was a government bailout operation. They brought in 40 banks that put up $11.5 billion, and the B of A put up $2 billion, which was, you know, Federal Reserve money. And that's how they kept Countrywide from going under. I think Angelo Manzello should be put in jail. This whole thing is a pyramid scheme, a Ponzi scheme, and these loans should have never been made to these people, and they were lied about them, they were cheated. It's just a dreadful situation. And, you know, there's about 142, the last time I looked, of big mortgage companies that have gone under since the beginning of the year, and I projected at the beginning of the year there would be 200 by the end of the year, and I think I might be, or might have been, too conservative. And so that's where that industry's headed. Now, as far as real estate is concerned, they will lose two-thirds of their real estate salesmen. The construction industry will cut back 60% in producing homes. 50% of the people who work in construction, 50% of the people who work in construction will lose their jobs, and the same is true of peripheral companies that supply them. In the financial industry, somewhere between one-third and one-half will lose their jobs. You got to remember, I've been at this 48 years. I've seen all the cycles. I've gone and lived through them in the financial markets. I know all the numbers. Fortunately, at my advanced age, I still have a good memory. And I know exactly what's going to happen. And since we started the forecaster, but even more so over the last probably 15 years, we have been uncannily correct. And to me, it's terrifying because I don't think any human should be right that often. And I don't know what makes it that way, but it's been that way, and I hope it continues that way for the subscribers, because we advise them through the publication, and we recommend investments which have made fabulous amounts of money. And so let's hope it stays that way.
Well, certainly one of the things that's said, and they keep saying, well, but, you know, the America is still the largest producing and manufacturing country in the world. We're still the largest exporter in the world. So really the economy must be doing fairly well. How do you respond to that?
Well, first of all, we're not one of the large exporters anymore. We're among them. And we've got about 14% of our manufacturing still here in the United States. And it used to make up 28% of our economy, but not anymore. And that's been deliberate. That's free trade and globalization, offshoring and outsourcing. And we've already lost over 5 million jobs. And corporate America says they're going to take another 40 million jobs offshore. And you know, it doesn't get any better, it just gets worse. It's sponsored by the people who control government, the executive branch, and they probably have paid off 80% of Congress. 5% of good guys, and the rest of them are self-compromised. They don't dare say a word.
Well, because as we look and see what's happening, why I think that it's the manufacturing jobs that are leaving our country, and these are the better-paying jobs. The jobs that we have now, that we still have, are, if they are good-paying jobs, and they're bringing people in from India, from other countries, to take those at half the expense. And, of course, the jobs then that are opening to people are very, very low-paying jobs. And even within the automotive industry, they seem to have a two-tier system, one for the older employees, which is still getting a fairly good salary, and then, of course, the newer employees are getting a dramatically less salary. This is rather a new thing, but, of course, the pressures on the unions to accept a change in salary status for new employees, either that or General Motors claims they're going to pick up and just leave the country. And yet, of course, one of the things that interested me, that General Motors' sales in August were actually up. Now, the other countries' companies were all down, but General Motors' sales were up about 6.5% from August of last year. Do you think that's a real statistic, or do you think they're really sort of almost giving their vehicles away just so they can get rid of them?
They've been giving their vehicles away for the last 6 years. And it's just to keep people working until they were ready to pull the plug on them. And they started planning that back, actually, in the 60s. They started doing something about it in 1980 when they started building plants overseas. This whole thing is planned. I wrote an article in 1967 for the American Mercury exactly what you're seeing today in free trade and globalization. It was the only way that they could bring America and Europe and Canada down to the level of the third world. And of course, if our economy is not working well, then those who export to us are going to suffer, and they're going to suffer the same fate. And so it's not going to get better, it's going to get worse.
Well, so do we
as
know
long
that?
As we have the same people in power. And how do you get them out of power? Well, they get rid of about 95% of the people in Congress, whether you like them or you don't. And then you elect somebody like Ron Paul as president. And if you don't do those two things in the next election, the only way you're going to get what you want, which is your freedom back and perhaps a meal in your stomach, is to go into the streets. And that's why they have all of these laws that they've passed to implement martial law. So all I can tell you is lock and load.
Well, I think that we really have to look and see what they're doing. Certainly General Motors and Ford are building their plants overseas. I mean, they talk about how poor they are, but they seem to have enough money to build their plants in Mexico and in China. And some of the people were in the unions here saying, look, they say they're so poor, but they got plenty of money to build their plants overseas. Is that a legitimate criticism?
Yes.
In other words,
they do have plenty of money to do that, and they will always have plenty. What their intention is to build, let's say, the Chevrolet in China for maybe $8,000 and send it over here and sell it for $15,000. And people will buy the brand name Chevrolet. That's their intention.
And
they know that production is going to drop off dramatically, but they don't care.
Well, that's
their cost base is so low, it doesn't make any difference to them.
Well, that's certainly going to have a profound impact upon our entire automotive industry here. It's going to leave all of these people who've been working for General Motors and Ford and Chrysler for so many years, you know, having to take dramatically low-paying jobs or simply have no job at all.
In the next year, the Chinese are going to export in behalf of General Motors 300,000 cars, which will sell for 15,000 that they make for eight. And after that's done, if it works fine, then they're going to start increasing it. And everybody will be able to buy cars made by General Motors in China. I think they forgot about one thing here, and that is there ain't going to be anybody to buy them because they're not going to have any money. I don't think they thought the thing out far enough. But the whole idea is world government. And whatever it takes, if a nuclear war, I mean, whatever it is, that's what they're going to do. And Stan, you've studied this for years just like I have, and you know how diabolical these people are, and have been for centuries. And they just don't care how many people they kill.
And these are the people who create the wars, and these are the people who create the revolutions, and these are the people, well, who backed the Chinese, who killed, you know, between 58 and 62, between 30 and 44 million people in China, and not a word of it in the American media, and there's not one person in 1,000 in America who's ever heard of the great hunger in China between 58 and 62. And the real figure, I think, is probably closer to 44 million that they killed. But it only becomes a statistic, because when you get to that number of people actually murdered by a government, it's too impossible, too horrible to contemplate. Well, certainly somebody just called in and wanted to know.
And these people can't contemplate a bad day at the mall.
Well, our job is to try to make this real to them before they have to experience it themselves. Somebody just called in and asked if these cars that are manufactured in China are going to be worthwhile purchasing when they're offered here for $15,000.
Well, for the price, absolutely yes. At the beginning, they'll have some problems, which they'll take care of. And their quality will get up like everybody else's.
Well, of course, the question, you know, the Chinese cars, apparently cars that are manufactured by the Chinese themselves, not by American corporations in China, but by China itself, they seem to be rather poor quality. If you run into that, and certainly we're hoping that General Motors cars manufactured there will be up to General Motors standards, but certainly we've heard some complaints about the quality of Chinese corporate-produced cars. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's absolutely correct. But if GM is going to export these cars to the United States, they're going to have to measure up to the standards, and the Chinese are going to do that.
Right.
And so you just simply will not be able to compete. I mean, any dunderhead with a sixth-grade education can see what's going on, but not the American people. They're too busy being involved with themselves. They don't want to know. The guy next door is going to lose his job in his house, not me. Or just like, you know, in war, the guy next to me is going to get shot, not me. And, you know, that's the way it is. That's human nature. And 95% of the people are going to lose more than 60% of what they own. And they can't come to terms with that. I mean, they just can't contemplate that something like that can happen. It's a denial process.
Well, I think
they're addicted to something. Shopping, coffee, food, who knows? But they get into these things and there's no way out. And so they won't listen. And that's okay. There'll be 5% of the population that will end up with a good part of the wealth. And if you're in gold and silver assets, well, you're going to be there. If you're not, you're going to get left out.
Well, our telephone number, if you'd like to give us a call, you have a question for Bob, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We have a few minutes left, and we'll be glad to open the lines. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a specific question for Bob. You know, one of the things is an awful lot of people have been investing in insurance, life insurance, or certainly saving for their pensions. What happens, though, when you go into an inflationary spiral is you may have a million-dollar life insurance policy, but $1 million may not buy much of anything at all. you know, with an inflationary spiral. When you have inflation like they have in Zimbabwe today, 10,000% a year, it doesn't take very long before the value of everything is destroyed. I mean, the people who have pensions, you know, they're planning on a comfortable retirement. But, of course, when you have inflation, you can wipe out the value of those dollars you've worked for all of your life in a relatively short period of time. And I don't think the average American really understands the significance of inflation, do you?
Not at all. They don't know that it's a thief in the night.
Well,
and as long as they're making enough to get by or to live the way that they desire to live, they don't care.
Well, let's go to Peter, who's calling us from Salinas. Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Good evening, gentlemen. Bob, what a great call you always make. I love that your standard is frugality. If we would only attain a frugal nature, all of this would pass us by.
Okay, fine. Do you have a question at all?
Yes, I do. Dr. Stan, I believe that they're going to hold this thing off until the next election and try to dump it all on the Democrats. What do you think about that?
What do you think about that?
Well, it's possible, but I think they've lost control of the process. And I think a lot of things are going to happen before the next election.
Okay, I agree. Hold that thought right there. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Bob, we've got Ron calling from Washington State, Richland, Washington. Hi, Ron. How are you doing?
Hey, Dr. Stan, just a question to Bob. He advised us to, put our savings in gold-related assets. What happens when the government decides to confiscate all the gold?
You shoot them.
They'll probably confiscate our guns first.
Well, you don't give them to them.
I think that...
You want to live in your knees?
No, sir.
You don't give them up.
Okay, anything else, Ron?
No, I appreciate... I listen to him on Pat Kiley's show as well, so I appreciate your advice.
Thanks very much. Let's go to Fred. And Fred, where are you calling from?
Hi, I'm calling from upstate New York, actually. I'm on the road at the moment.
Fine. Did you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I was interested in Mr. Chapman's thoughts on the larger picture of the consequences of what he's talking about in terms of how the American population has been diluted by this ruling class kind of group that he's referring to, and how that kind of plays into the long-term consequences of all this to the global environment and overpopulation and things like that. I kind of have this view that this long-term strategy to enslave the working class, if you will, has a component to it that's a little bit more subtle in the background, which is this propensity for perpetual and unbridled growth in order to satisfy this unbridled greed, and that this unbridled and perpetual growth of also affects our population. For example, the human population growth on Earth, which is seems to be running amok. And I kind of wanted to hear his thoughts on in that context as well.
What are your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I agree with you, and second of all, I mentioned earlier in the program that part of this economic and financial rendering of people to their knees and the high cost of food in relation to that would cause people who didn't have a lot of means not to be able to eat, and that would give them the purging that they desire to get rid of the population.
I really intend to kill off most of the people in the world. I really do.
Well, at least some. And, you gotta hark back to all the wars that we've had since the 12th century.
Hold that thought for just a moment. Well, go ahead, Bob.
And these people, finance both sides in most instances. And
yes,
the more people get killed, the better.
Man,
they've always thought there were too many people.
Okay, well, Fred, Frank, thank you very much. Let's go quickly to Joan calling from Idaho. Joan, do you have a quick question?
Yes.
We're out of time.
When you say gold and silver assets, do you mean related assets? Not just gold and silver per se, but what other?
It only breaks down into two categories, gold and silver bullion and coins, or gold and silver mining stocks, and that's
mining
it.
Stocks.
Okay, that's it. We're out of time. Joan, thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure having you with us. And we'll look forward to having you about 2 weeks from now.
Terrific.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for having me again.
Okay. All right.
Bye-bye.
And Bob's always a challenge to have with us, and certainly always very stimulating. And he's been anticipating, since we first got started, exactly what we're talking about now. Now, if you have any question how this whole system works, you really need to get our pamphlet, The History of Money, and my talk on Financial Tsunami, and it comes with a syllabus. We recommend it to you because it'll really help you to understand what's going on. The books, The Creature from Jekyll Island, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, and Fiat Money Inflation in France will also help you to understand what is going on in the world today. And believe me, you need to have a crash course in finance. You need to understand exactly what's going on. Do not put it off, because, of course, tomorrow could be far too late. This is the time, of course, when I want to remind you we're having an all-day conference on the 28th of October here at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course in the Monterey Bay area. We do hope you can come. We're going to have Ron Brown talking on finance. We're going to have, of course, a great lineup of speakers, and hope to see you there. If you are interested in getting the rooms, we have a block of rooms reserved at a special price. But if you're going to get them, we have to know by the end of this month, by the 27th or 28th of September, when, of course, they do away with the special rate. So give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. If you're interested in coming, you're going to need a reservation anyway. That's 1-800-544-8927. Unfortunately, we're probably going to have a war with Iran in the not-too-distant future, which will lay the basis for a war with the Islamic world. And you have to understand the spiritual significance of what is happening financially and, of course, this effort to alienate everyone else in the world so America will stand alone. Hated by other nations, feared because of our military might, but hated because of what we've done and because of the brutality which we have shown when we've invaded Afghanistan and certainly Iraq, and then, of course, our attack on Iran, and by the fact we've authorized torture. No humane country in the world authorizes torture, but even in America, even our ministers and our political candidates support it. In fact, the recent debates show that many of the Republican candidates support torture, see nothing absolutely wrong with it. What has happened to the soul of America? Well, to understand that, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to hear my talk on the Forbidden Secret. That's the Forbidden Secret. That's a DVD with associated syllabus. We have a four-tape set on the secret, behind the secret. We have a new four-tape set on satanic crimes. That's satanic crimes. We carry the book Satanic Crimes and of course, another book called Programmed to Kill. We'll certainly hope that many of you will want to get the DVD, The Secret Mystery of America's Beginnings, and then Riddles in Stone, Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2, and, of course, the DVD on the Atlantis Connection. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for this next hour, the views of Ron Brown, who sells gold and silver coins, and Ron does help and support Radio Liberty, and we support him because we think he's an honest man, and certainly we've had excellent reports from all of the people who've dealt with him through the years that he's been appearing here on Radio Liberty. How are you doing tonight, Ron?
Pretty good, Dr. Stan. Nice to be on with you again.
Yeah, and of course, Ron's going to be a speaker at our conference here. It's going to be on the 28th of October, and we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to coming. Dr. Garth Nicholson, certainly a world-renowned scientist, is going to be there, and Carol Matrician, and certainly Michael Shaw, and you've really enjoyed the program that we're laying out for you. So if you can possibly make it the 28th of October, all day here in the Monterey Bay area. But this is the time, of course, to get your reservations for your flights. And, of course, this is the time to get the reservation for the hotel, because they will only hold them until the 27th or 28th of September. And after that, while you're on your own. So if you're interested in coming, I'd love to hear from you. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Well, Ron, these are certainly exciting times. You see the market really plunging today, and it has done this several times here in the last few weeks. And we know very well that the government does everything they can to intervene, but it almost as if they're losing control. We see gold and silver rising, and we know these prices have been manipulated as well. But apparently the people who are manipulating them are beginning to run out of gold and silver. They can't keep the prices down indefinitely. They know that when the prices of gold and silver begin to rise, why people tend to get into them. They certainly have wanted to give everybody the idea that there was nothing to worry about our currency. The dollar was as sound as could be, and yet I understand it broke below 80 and closed below 80 today for the first time in quite some while.
I think that's a 30-year breakdown. The last time it was this low was 1977, I believe, the figure I saw. So, yeah, this whole thing is slowly unraveling. But, you know, Dr. Stan, even the greatest magician eventually runs out of rabbits. And as you and I have followed these markets for the last 20, 25, 30 years, time after time, as these economy gets into trouble, they come in and bail it out, and inflate their way out of it. But every cycle that we go through this, it takes more and more fiat money to keep the system alive. And as you do that time after time, you slowly destroy the credibility of the very currency. And since our whole monetary system is built on a mountain of debt, credibility is everything, because once the foreigners or the investors lose confidence in the paper assets that we're selling, then they'll stop buying them, and how do we finance our debt? We, as you and I have said many times over the air, we need $3 to $3.5 billion of foreign money coming in every single day of the year just to pay the interest on our debt.
And of course, there's no way at all that we're going to be able to do this in you know, indefinitely, sooner or later, Ford is going to quit financing America's debt. We've been exporting our inflation, you know, for many, many years, getting other people to hold the dollars that we send overseas and using the dollar's reserve currency. But sooner or later, and probably right now sooner, this whole system is going to go belly up. And when it does, why, of course, we're going to have terrible, terrible financial consequences. We'll be back in just a moment with Ron Brown. Well, Ron, certainly, you know, it sounds like we've got something like about 11% inflation now. That's the real inflation rate. Why doesn't the government just tell the American people the truth instead of lying and saying that it's only about a 2% inflation?
Because the whole system is built on a mountain of debt. And if people saw what the inflation was, then they wouldn't loan their money at 5%, which is what bonds are going for right now. They would insist on whatever the inflation is plus 2%, at least in, you know, historically. So that means in order to fund the debt, we'd have to be paying 13% interest. And if that happened, of course, the whole thing would get harder and harder to sustain. And since our debt is so massive over the last 20, 30 years, if interest rates went up now, the bond market would collapse, and then that would take the whole system down. So they have put off the day of reckoning time after time after time, but every time they do that, they create a worse monster. And now we're sitting here propped on this massive debt structure. We kept the real estate bubble going to try to keep the thing alive. In order to do that, they started putting out such unbelievably ridiculous material with these CDOs and peddling them off to the foreigners. Now the foreigners are getting stung on them, and they're losing confidence in them. So I really believe the next challenge is going to be in the bond market itself, because a lot of these big institutions and the municipal bonds are tied into this, and they're tied into these CDOs, and so they're becoming less and less credible. So once the bond market comes under pressure, then it's going to be very, very difficult to keep this game going. If you'll remember back in 79-80, the bond market lost 55% of its value in just the year 1979. Lost 30 or 40% in the last 2 months of 1979. So I'm afraid we're approaching that point where we're going to see a meltdown in the ability to keep financing these massive deficits.
Well, you know, I think one of the hardest things is for the average person to really understand what's going on, and even trained economists are not quite sure exactly what should be done. But I think the important things are really very, very simple. All the federal government can do, the Federal Reserve Board, is to either raise the interest rates or lower the interest rates, and then they can make, of course, money more available. They can change the credit status, or they can pour money into the economy. And, of course, this is what you do when you're really desperate. Now, when you raise the interest rates, you slow the economy. When you lower the interest rates, you speed up the economy and destroy the dollar. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We were just pointing out how the Federal Reserve System works and the things that the Federal Reserve System could do to manipulate the economy artificially is to determine the value of interest rates. If they raise the interest rates, why, of course, they slow down the economy. In other words, there's less money and credit out there. If they lower the interest rates, then, of course, money becomes readily available. And, of course, through inflation, it increases inflation, and you destroy the value of the currency. Raise the interest rates, you increase the value of the currency. The other thing, of course, that you can do is to do massive lending of money. And, of course, you create the money out of nothing. That's what the Federal Reserve does. It just creates the money, and within the last 3 or 4 weeks, our Federal Reserve System, I don't know how much they've poured into the economy. Do you have any idea how much the Federal Reserve has poured in, how much the Bank of England or certainly the European Central Bank? But they're putting money out there like it's going out of style.
I've heard so many crazy figures. You know, I heard the one figure that Europe and our Fed and so forth had pumped in somewhere around $500 billion, and then I've heard a lot more since then. So, plus, that doesn't explain what maybe the plunge protection team is doing and some of the other off-budget type stuff. So, really, you don't have any idea. I wouldn't be a bit shocked if they've had to create somewhere approaching $1 trillion in the last month or two, in a desperate attempt to keep this financial market propped up. You know, this subprime loan and these CDOs that they keep bragging are going to be contained are not being contained at all. It's just reverberating throughout the whole financial system. It's triggering fear, and now the credit system is starting to freeze up because the lenders are afraid to loan out and the borrowers are afraid to borrow money. So, you know, if the whole system is based on credit and that's what keeps the system going, once you freeze up that system, then it starts to go into convulsions, and that's what we're really seeing now. And these desperate attempts that they're making to keep it propped up are, on the other hand, destroying all credibility in the dollar. So now the dollar's gone down and tested and broken through 80 rather handily today. So, you know, this is about the third time it's gone down to test that 80 level in the last, what, 2, 3, 4 weeks. So there's an old saying, 3 strikes, you're out. So we'll have to see if they can find enough rabbits to pull out of their hat next week to prop this thing back up. And if they don't, you could see an accelerating flight out of the dollar, which would have an impact on all the markets.
And, of course, gold has gone from about 660 up to 690 today. And we're talking about, what, about 2 or 3 weeks to have that phenomenal rise?
Actually, the gold got up as high as $710 today.
Really?
Traded at, closed at 702. So, yeah, we're very close, quickly approaching that previous high back in May of 2006 when gold hit, I think it hit 730 intraday. I don't think it closed that high. So we're right near or approaching the previous all-time high. And of course, once you break through that, then that's going to be a psychological breakthrough where the flight in the gold could really accelerate at that point.
And, of course, where did silver close today?
Silver was up 21 cents at 1275. So, excuse me, 1260-something. That was December contract. It was 1275. So, you know, the silver is coming way back from its correction of, what, 2, 3, 4 weeks ago when it got down near the $11 level.
And, of course, really, what, the way they manipulate that is you have your big players like Goldman Sachs and the people on the Tokyo Stock Exchange and elsewhere actually sell these contracts short. They don't have any gold or silver. They just sell them short, and they figure that they're going to be able to drive the price down, and then of course sell it back, and they'll end up doing very well financially. This is how they manipulate the market. You see, when you sell short, you're supposed to have something to cover it. If you sell a product that you don't have, they call that going naked. Now the old adage, you know, he who sells what isn't his has to give it back and go to prison, but can you imagine, of course, sending somebody from Goldman Sachs to prison? After all, they really sort of run the government. We had Robert Rubin from Goldman Sachs, the Secretary of the Treasury, a few years ago. We've got Mr. Paulson today, the Secretary of the Treasury from Goldman Sachs, took a job that was paying him, I think, $40 million a year, and he gave that up for a job that pays him maybe $180,000. Boy, there's a real patriot. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Ron, give us a call. That's at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But I really think that they're no longer able to maintain the price of gold and silver, and I think that they're going to keep going up. How high they're going to go, how fast they're going to go, certainly I am incapable of telling you. But I do believe, from what we know, is that Goldman Sachs and the people over in Tokyo and the other professional players have closed out a lot of their short contracts. And it appears that these items are going to go, but they're going to go so fast that most people will be afraid to jump in. And then, of course, when the people begin jumping in, that'll be the top, at least a temporary top. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, I agree. We haven't even seen the meltdown yet, and when the dollar breaks below this 80, then you're going to see an accelerating flight into gold and silver. At that point, you're going to see scandal after scandal exposed. As one, there's a short squeeze or a squeeze on these shorts on the COMEX, and when that happens, the Morgan Chases and these three or four big international bankers who've been manipulating the market from the short side are going to get caught where they can't deliver on those contracts. And you know what they'll do, as they've always done, they'll change the rules of the game to bail out their buddies. And when they do that, that'll create a scandal on the COMEX. Then I'm convinced you're going to see the next scandal will be these ETFs that supposedly store silver. For example, right now on the silver ETF, there's supposed to be 143 million ounces of silver in storage for the investors who have bought those shares. And even if it is there today, which I seriously doubt, what's going to happen when we see a major surge in demand for silver? People run in to buy those ETFs because it's an easy way for the average person to buy silver without taking delivery. At least it seems easy. Is there going to be enough silver to meet that demand once it happens? And, of course, it's not out there. So, plus, I think, I call it the first worm out of a five-gallon bucket. A couple months ago, there was the lawsuit brought against Morgan Stanley over their silver storage program. And to make it short and sweet, when it went to court, it came out that not only was Morgan Stanley not buying the physical silver to fill those contracts, in this particular case, they weren't even using the futures market to hedge their risk, yet they were charging storage fees to their clients all along. And so, as we might have suspected, they found them guilty, but I think they just slapped them on the wrist and charged them $5 million or $6 million or whatever it is to make it right. But that starts the question, how many of those 250 storage facilities around the world are storing the proper amount of silver? And that comes into doubt, and I'm convinced that when this thing accelerates, we're going to start finding out that a lot of that silver doesn't exist, which means, in reality, that the bankers of the world have snookered the laws of supply and demand. You see, the laws of supply and demand, sitting there counting those inventories and assuming that's real silver. And so they think there's a heck of a lot more silver out there than really is. And when the truth is exposed, I think you're going to see a panic into silver, and silver will explode at that point.
Well, of course, the other thing is that as the dollar drops in value, I would think that countries throughout the world will want to unload their dollar holdings. And certainly when we see China holding probably somewhere around $1 trillion worth of American dollars, they have, I think, their reserves are about 1.4 trillion dollars right now. And certainly Japan probably holding 800 or 900 billion dollars in silver, but certainly nobody in their right mind would want to be holding a currency that was dropping in value. I mean, why would you want to hold something that was decreasing in value? You'd have to get rid of it or do whatever you could, use those dollars to start buying things up. And so many of the countries throughout the world, not only in China and Japan, but certainly Saudi Arabia and other countries that are holding large numbers of dollars are creating sovereign wealth funds, and they're either moving into America and buying up our infrastructure or buying up our stocks or buying up our corporations. And I fear, you know, before long, with all these really trillions of dollars throughout the world, and I've forgotten how many trillion dollars, but somewhere at least $3 trillion that other countries hold, they're simply going to buy up a significant part of our of the infrastructure and the stock market and the wealth of our nation. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I would like to put a pencil, or someone put a pencil, to the paper value of all the assets around the globe. You know, all the stock markets in the world, all the bond markets in the world, all the value of all the real estate and assets in the world. And the derivative markets, I've heard that's $500 trillion is the notional value of the derivative market in itself. And to kind of put that in perspective, I saw an interesting analogy here the other day, and someone said even at $1,000 an ounce, $1 trillion would buy 1 billion ounces of gold. In the history of the world has only produced 4 billion ounces of gold totally. So at the $700 level, you could say that $3 trillion would buy all the gold that's been mined in the history of the world.
Hold that thought. We're going to be right back here in just a moment with Ron Brown. Well, Ron, go right ahead.
So, you know, if $3 trillion would buy all the gold that's ever been mined in the history, keeping in mind that gold is already spoken for, so how much of it is really available to the market at a reasonable price? And then you look at the hundreds of trillions of dollars of paper assets flushing around the globe, and it's all based on confidence, and the confidence level is evaporating, or at least unraveling, and at some point you're going to see a meltdown, and it's just 1% of the money in paper tried to get in gold today, or especially silver, you'd probably see the price just go literally through the roof. So it's exciting for the price of gold, but it's kind of scary for the future of our nation and the world economy. I think there's going to be a tremendous political change as this thing comes unraveled.
Well, I think, Chris, what I've seen is that the value of all of the assets in the world, stock market, property, things like that, something about $50 trillion. But the trouble is that the derivatives are about $500 trillion. In other words, the value of everything in the world, if you were to have it all, you were to sell it all, $50 trillion, and yet the derivatives, which are propping up this system, $500 trillion. There is no way, of course, if those derivatives start to unravel, that the whole system won't come down. Certainly, Warren Buffett has referred to derivatives as financial weapons of mass destruction, currently latent, but potentially lethal. And derivatives are certainly bets on what's going to happen financially, with a guarantee that if, let's imagine that you're in a hedge fund, you make a bad purchase, why then the derivatives will cover it, and if it, the purchase the hedge fund has made turns against you, why they will cover it. And of course you have to pay a certain amount from the derivatives, but of course it's certainly Chase Manhattan Bank and certainly Bank of America, I think they're the two largest, J.P. Morgan Chase, I guess it is, and Bank of America, the two largest holders of derivatives probably in the entire world, and of course, and they're making money hand over fist. But if the derivative market begins to come unraveled, or the economy begins to tank, they're going to have to come up with tens of trillions of dollars to cover their wages. And that's a frightening thing to contemplate. And then, of course, the only thing you can do to protect them would be to have the central bank come in and just create all that new money, which would destroy the value of the old money. And that's where we're going to get into real trouble, because the Federal Reserve doesn't want anything to happen. And so, obviously, the easy thing to do is just keep creating more and more and more artificial money. And that is, of course, what leads you to where the Weimar Republic was back in the 1920s and early 1930s, certainly where Argentina was back in the 1990s, certainly where Russia was, where Rhodesia is today, when government keeps printing money because it's the easiest thing to do, rather than to recognize your folly. Do you think that could happen here, Ron?
Well, absolutely. In fact, you know, you talk about these other countries, and that was bad enough, but the simple fact that the United States has been the world's reserve currency for the last, 60, 70 years, and in that position,
Okay. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ron was just saying that the United States government has been the world's reserve currency for a number of years. That means that the real responsibility for maintaining a stable world economic system and the stability of all the world's currencies really rested on the Federal Reserve Board that has been tried and found wanting. They've done everything wrong. Today they're increasing the inflation rate in the United States, which is really reflected by the destruction of the value of the dollar, about 11% a year in real terms, and they're lying about it. But believe me, the other countries know what's going on. It's just the American people don't. And according to Bob Chapman, who was with us this last hour, why the M3 rate, which they don't want the American people to know, is somewhere between 13.3% and 13.8%, which will reflect what the inflation rate will be about 2 to 3 years from now. And how long do you think it takes to destroy your currency with a 13.3% to 13.8% inflation rate here in the United States? Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and go ahead, Ron.
Well, you know, you start your show off every time talking about delusion, and when you look at this derivative market, you see how these big banks have deluded themselves, because they'll make a risky bet, and then they'll go out and buy something called a default option that's supposed to protect them in case the person defaults on this loan. And you know, the derivative market gets so involuted and so complex, it's hard for anyone to even comprehend it, much less explain it. So if you'll bear with me, I'll give my simple little explanation of the derivative market. I think I've given it before. It's kind of like, Dr. Stan, I come out to see you, and you and I are sitting there around the coffee table, and we're chatting about things, and I look down at your coffee table, and I see a piece of clay. And as we're chatting, I look up at the wall and down at the clay, and I say, you know, Dr. Stan, I bet you if I threw this clay against the wall, it would stick. And you look at it and look down and say, Ron, I don't think it would. And our little egos get involved, and finally I say, Dr. Stan, what are you worth? And just for this analogy, let's say you say $100,000, and I say, okay, that's what I'm worth. I tell you what, Doc, I'll bet you $10 million it'll stick, and you say, Brownie, you're on. Well, what have we both done? We both made bets that we couldn't possibly honor. And that's what this whole derivative thing is. You've got these massive bets out there. Now, in our analogy, until we throw the clay, it doesn't stick or it doesn't not stick. So the bet isn't called. But once we throw the clay, one of us is going to win and one of us is going to lose. But the guy who won didn't win anything because the guy who lost can't pay off. And I really believe that's what this whole derivative thing is about. The debt isn't called until these interest rates spike. That's why they're so desperately trying to hold interest rates steady, because once we see a spike in interest rates, these derivatives are going to be called, and that's when this whole thing will start to unravel.
And of course, the last thing that they want to do is raise interest rates. Of course, they would do that, you know, by when the Federal Reserve meets. But of course, you would raise the interest rates if you were trying to prevent inflation and trying to tighten credit. But if you do that, the whole economy would tank. So right now, of course, the big thing that they're talking about is cutting the interest rates by a half a percent or maybe even a full percent. We don't know what they're going to do. But if they do that, it is highly inflationary. And with an inflation rate that's already running in the neighborhood of 11%, imagine what increasing that rate of inflation would do to the value of the dollar, to the value of your life savings and the life savings of people all across America. And if you destroy the value of the dollar, then you destroy the value of the holdings of people all throughout the world. So unfortunately, as America goes, so goes the world, because America is the reserve currency of the world. And of course, if it ever ceases to be the reserve currency of the world, all those trillions of dollars that are held elsewhere will come flooding back in here and simply destroy the remaining value of our currency, and it could really relatively be destroyed overnight. And remember what happened in Argentina within the last 4 years, 5 years ago. The people were told that the The peso was tied to the dollar. The peso was as good as the dollar. You got nothing to worry about. We'll never change that. The financial minister assured the people they had nothing to worry about, and they went to bed one day, and they woke up the next morning, and all of the banks were closed, and they devalued the value of the peso by three quarters and impoverished the entire population of Argentina that had believed their leaders who were simply lying to them. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. If you have a question or comment for Ron, give us a call. Well, Dr. Stan, our friend Ron Brown, you know, one of the big problems, Ron, is I don't think most people understand history. They don't even understand what happened in Argentina 4 or 5 years ago, or what happened in Russia, you know, in the 1990s, when they simply destroyed the life savings of the Russian people who'd suffered under communism, but at least they'd accumulated a little bit of money, and they wiped that out in just a matter of a few months.
Or in Mexico, two times since I've been in the southeast rim, you know, with Thailand and so forth, and Korea, they had the collapses there where their currencies lost 80-90% basically overnight. So it happens throughout history, but of course, you now know, Dr. Stan, it can never happen in America because we're different, see, and we're immune to the laws of economics, I guess. But it's becoming so obvious to anyone that's really thinking that this monetary system, this dollar system that has been in place since 1913 when they created this bogus thing called the Federal Reserve System, is running its course of all fiat systems in the history of the world. You know, every fiat system ever created in history has always failed because it's based on fraud. And I think we're at the very tail end of this monetary system, and there's a lot of things out there that tell you that's the case. The simple fact that there's so much publicity being brought to this North American Union now that tells me the insiders are planning the next crisis to create, to further their agenda towards a one world currency. So the very fact that they put out the information that's being used to expose it tells me they're getting ready for something pretty quick. And then you look at what's going on in the debt markets, the financial markets, and all of a sudden you see we got to be getting close to the end of this. And people need to wake up very, very quickly if they want to try to protect themselves from where we're heading.
Well, I don't think most people are going to do that, but I think that a lot of the people who have been listening to you and certainly our other commentators on this subject over the last few years, many of them have made proper choices. They've certainly got out of debt. Some of them have sold their homes. Some of them have moved to other areas where they could buy. I know we had one of our supporters move up into eastern Washington, where he got, I think, 3 or 4 homes for the price of what he'd sold his home in the Monterey Bay area here, where we certainly have overinflated prices. And he's sitting pretty. He's sitting pretty for life. He doesn't even have to work because he got all the houses rented out. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ron Brown. And if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But Ron, before we go on, I'd like you to go ahead and give out your telephone number. I give out your telephone number and your website, or let people know how they can get in touch with you.
Okay, my telephone number is 1-800-595-0561. That's 1-800-595-0561. And anyone that has any interest, just give me a call. I have a package of information I'll send out to you. I don't have a website, but I'll be glad to chat with anyone that has any questions, and just feel free to call.
All right, fine. Of course, you are really very optimistic as far as silver. Do you think that silver is a better investment right now than gold, or do you think you ought to cover all bases?
Well, I think you need both of them, but if you ask me which metal has the best potential for a return, I think gold or silver will outperform gold. I'm going to make a kind of a bold statement here. I think silver will outperform gold over the next 2 years by at least fivefold, 500%. In other words, if you were to make 100% in your gold investment, if you'd had it in silver instead, you'd make a 500% return on your money. And the reason I think that is it's really this simple. Every day there is less silver above ground, and every day there's more gold above ground. We have been consuming silver at a deficit for somewhere approaching 50 years. So the glut of silver that was dumped into the industrial market back in the 60s when Lyndon Johnson demonetized our silver, took the silver out of the coinage, dumped all that silver into the market, that literally was silver that had taken thousands of years to accumulate. And so what that literally did was glut the world with silver, drove the price so low that it destroyed the incentive to produce, and the mining industry just dried up. So for the last 50, 60 years, we've been consuming our seed corn, and now as we get down to the bottom of that glut of silver, it's happening at the very moment in time when the confidence in paper money is starting to erode and people are starting to look for a refuge, and silver is going to be one of the refuges it has been throughout all history. So, you know, we talked about 4 billion ounces of gold, but see, there's really a lot more gold above ground than there is silver now because we've consumed all the silver. So if the story we've told about gold is exciting, try to apply that to the silver market when the value of the gold market is 200 to 250 times the value of the silver market in the world. So once this thing triggers, in my mind, what's going to happen is, one, the silver market is undervalued because the bankers have deluded the public into thinking there's more silver than there really is with all these paper contracts. And once those start to get exposed, then silver is going to start to outperform gold, and then you're going to see some of the people owning gold decide they better switch some of their gold into silver because they're missing out on this once-in-a-world history silver play. And just think about 1% of the money in gold trying to get into silver would just send silver going through the roof. So I just believe if you're looking at it from strictly an investment standpoint, silver has much more potential than gold.
Well, Cindy, you know, sometimes when the market starts up, why, it doesn't act rationally, and sometimes they usually go far higher than you ever would have anticipated. And certainly we've seen this with the tulip mania, or certainly the housing bubble. I mean, there was no reason why the houses should have gone up to the level that they did. But, of course, people were simply bidding the price up because the prices were going up, and, of course, it became a self-fulfilling prophecy for a certain period of time. And this has happened time and time again. The match was a gentleman who cornered the world supply of matches many years ago. And, of course, by creating an artificial shortage is why fabulous fortunes were made. The land sales there in Florida, you know, probably 20 or 30 or 40 years ago, I've forgotten, but there was a mania of people buying lots, because a lot of them were underwater there and full of alligators, but that didn't matter. You know, as long as people were making money, other people would want to get on board. And it just, of course, it capitalizes on human greed and human psychology, and it'll be very interesting to see if that happens as well with silver. So, you know, I hope that you're right as far as the run-up in silver is concerned, because I know that many of our listeners actually have been investing, and yet the price of silver still is not that high, is it?
No, it's at $12.60 an ounce. You know, think about it, Dr. Stan. In 1979, when I first got in this business, silver was trading right near $5 an ounce. 12 months later, at the blow-off stage of that last bull market, when gold went to $870, silver went to $52 an ounce. So here we are with gold at $700, which is approaching those previous highs. yet silver is still way down at 12 to 13, not even barely a fourth of what its previous high was, you know, just 20-something years ago. So if you think about that and realize that here we are 25, 26 years later, and we've used more silver every year than we've produced, so there's maybe one-fourth as much silver to go around as there was back then, and yet we've got 10 to 20 to 30 times as much paper money sloshing around the globe ready to seek what silver is left. So I really believe what's going to happen is that once the dollar breaks down, the flight in the gold and silver starts to accelerate, you're going to start to see the shortages start to manifest in silver, and you're going to see all the scandals with all these fake or false inventories. And then once silver breaks through 16, I really believe you could see a blow off like we saw back in 1979. So I think it very easily could see $100 silver in 6 to 12 months. Once we trigger through that, you know, that $16 level or so, whatever triggers this thing into the blow-off stage, and I think we're getting close to that because, you know, all you have to do is look and see what's happened to the financial markets, the stock markets in general, the inflation rate around the globe, the mortgage thing imploding on itself, all the massive bailouts they're having to do to try to hold this house of cards together. We're just approaching something very serious, I'm afraid.
All right. Well, our telephone number certainly is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment about what's happening financially, because I really do believe that this is the time we've been talking about it for years, that this had to come about. Because there is no instance in all history where a fiat money system, in other words, a money system that had nothing behind it, has lasted for any period of time. And we have a number of very smart people who think that they can manage the economy of the world, but of course they cannot cover all the problems. And what's happened is every time, if they had accepted, you know, what they were doing, you know, and said, all right, we're going to let the system purge itself, we're going to let the price of things begin to drop, and of course it'll go down, and then we can start in all over again. And that's what has happened to the markets in the past. But they've artificially kept this up. And the last dropout we really had was back in 1980 when Paul Volcker, faced with an inflation rate running 17 or 18%, ran the interest rate up to over 21% and just shut down the entire economy. And a lot of people lost a lot of things. I had a lot of friends who lost, I mean, everything they'd worked for many years. But it got the economy back to some sort of a logical basis and preserved the value of our currency. Had they not done that, our currency would have been destroyed long ago. Unfortunately, over the last 27 years, the Alan Greenspan has refused to allow there to be a purging of the economy, has allowed there to be any basis for our currency, and they have, since 1971, increased the amount of money in circulation 9 times and increased the debt over 12 times. That was from 1971 up until the year 2005. Increased the debt of our nation some 12 times and increased the amount of money in circulation 9 times over, all based on inflation. And that, of course, is why the home that I bought back in 1961 for $42,000 recently sold for $2 million, because I didn't have it at the time. I'd sold it long ago. But that's why the price of homes and everything else has gone up, is because they've created all of this artificial prosperity. But it's all a mirage. There's nothing behind it, because there's nothing behind our currency other than the faith in this ruling elite who think they're so smart they can violate all the laws of economics, and I don't think they're going to do it much longer. What is your thought, Ron?
Well, I agree, and of course the problem in a fiat system is every cycle the level of debt gets greater. So it's kind of like a simple analogy. If you If you walk up your stepladder and jump down, you may twist your ankle a little bit. And if you jump off the roof of your one-story building, you might sprain a knee. But when you get up on a high wire, 10,000 feet up, if you allow a correction at all, it's immediate death, and that's the problem. We've got so much debt that they cannot afford. You see, all that debt is based on leverage and speculation. So if you were to ever allow the economy to go into a correction, look at the real estate values that you're talking about. They would collapse overnight, and the whole system would go bankrupt. So at this point, they've reached a stage where it's inflate or die. You've got to keep pumping the money into the system. As I've said on this show a jillion times, it's a Ponzi scheme. You must keep it growing at all times. You can never allow it to correct. Because if you ever see this thing ever go into a deflationary downdraft, then the thing will start to implode on itself into a 29-style banking panic very quickly.
And I really think that the average person finds it impossible to believe that this would happen. They think the government's going to come up and solve their problem, without realizing it is the government that is the problem. Now it's not our government. I mean, our government doesn't exist today. Our government, of course, certainly said that all money was to be based upon gold and silver. It never anticipated that a small group of elitists would take control of our monetary system, and that a small group then would use that money that they were able to create out of nothing to buy up the media and to buy up the universities and to buy up the corporations and to be able to bribe politicians and to create our reality and to conceal what was happening. This small group of elitists who controlled the banking system and work in concert with the banking systems throughout the world, with people in all the central banks of the world who are working in concert to create a feudalistic system under their control. And if you doubt that, you need to read Professor Quigley's book. Professor Quigley was Bill Clinton's mentor, and of course in his classic book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, by Professor Carol Quigley. Why? Professor Quigley says on page 324 that, of course, they work in secret meetings among themselves, these bankers, these central bankers, to create using a feudalistic concept to create this control over the governments of the world. And of course, the book was so revealing that somebody came in and actually purchased the company that published Professor Quigley's book, Macmillan, and then destroyed the plates, the first half of the book, which contained the quotation I just gave you on page 324, so the book could never be reprinted. And if you doubt that happened, we actually have an interview with Professor Quigley where he tells you that very story. We're the only people who have it. It's contained in our four-tape set on the secret government, or you can get that with the Tragedy and Hope special and just specifically request that. Well, we've got Stuart here. He's calling from Flint, Michigan. Hi, Stuart. How are you doing?
Hi, wonderful.
Do you have a question for us?
Yes. I was just wondering, I remember back in 1998 or so, it was Alan Greenspan made a comment that the economy was going too well and that we had to put the brakes on the economy. And with the global order, world order thing going on, or some, you know, people wanting this, isn't this just a buy it? Don't they have to bring us down? Isn't this part of the overall plan to get monetary parity with the rest of the world so that they can install their global monetary system?
What do you think about that, Rod?
Well, I think they're setting up the U.S. for a failure because they have to tear down the U.S. to merge us into this new world order that they envision, and you can see them doing it right now. They first started to doing it in Europe. Now we've got the North American Union coming full blast. You know, this is not in the planning stages. This is they're implementing it right now. So, yeah, I think the borrower becomes a slave to the lender. They've pumped up our systems, sucked the whole society into massive debt. Now all they have to do is collapse that debt stream and it brings us right back down to their level, if that's what you're referring to, and I think that's exactly what's happening.
And Stuart, really, I would agree with you. Basically, there is a master plan. It's in the Earth Charter, and we comment about that very frequently, and you can get it off the Internet. That's the Earth Charter, written by Gorbachev, very strong, and by Sidney... Stephen Rockefeller, and basically they were said there they want equitable distribution of wealth within nation and between nations, and this is all about bringing America down and then merging us into the global system. And when our people are impoverished, they'll turn to the leaders and they'll say, help us, protect us, you know, provide for us. And of course these people are quite willing of course to take total control, but they're not going to help us. And they're not going to provide for us. They're going to enslave us.
No, they're not.
And they know exactly what they're doing. Do you have anything else you wanted to say? Because I think you're right on.
Well, I'm just wondering, my friends and I, we kind of brainstorm these things, and we're just, you know, average people. And what can we do to prevent this? They have us so divided. Everything that is going on in our culture today is a division of us people, and how can we get together and stop this? As ordinary people, I don't see anything that we can do about this other than pray.
Well, I think that, Chris, the prayer is an important thing, because behind everything going on are powerful spiritual forces. Our job, of course, is to try to get people educated. If the people understood, why, hopefully, they would do something about it. But I'm not sure whether they still have the character to do something about it. All we can do, of course, is do our best. I'm called to get the information out. I do it 5 hours a day, as you know, and your job is to get the information out as well, and we'll provide the information. You disseminate it, but in the final analysis, it's in God's hands, and it's God's battle. Thank you, Stuart.
Well, amen, and thank you, sir. You have a blessed evening now.
Right. Bye-bye. All right. Ron, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay. Well, we've talked at length here for every time I've been on here for the last 2 years, I guess, that where we're heading is towards a monetary crash and collapse, and it's becoming more and more evident that we're getting closer to it. So now the question becomes, how do we best protect ourselves from where we're heading? And, you know, to me, number one, it's as I've said earlier, every fiat money system in the history of the world has failed. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see this dollar system is in its tail, you know, in the end times of this dollar system. So it seems logical, if the system is collapsing, there's going to be a crisis at some point in the near future, a declaration of an emergency, and some type of monetary reform, which we've seen throughout the world in different countries, where they simply write off the debt and create a new currency. It's becoming more and more obvious that the Amero, or whatever they might call it in the end game, is the plan. So it seems the first thing we ought to wake up to is we don't want to go into this monetary reform holding the very currency that is in the process of being repudiated. So obviously we need to start divesting of our dollars, especially municipal bonds and T-bills and CDs and stuff like that in the banking system, that's going to suffer dramatically. And so throughout history, the vehicle that has preserved the wealth, it's got you across the abyss from one failing paper system and got you over to the next system that would replace it, has simply been gold and silver throughout all history. Now, the challenge and the problem we have going into this crisis is that I'm convinced that once we get to the other side and we say, hallelujah, our gold has maintained its value, we're going to wake up to the simple reality that we no longer live in a constitutional republic and a government of law that protects our rights. And at that point, what kind of government do we have? Is it a tyrannical government? And if that's the case, and they could simply say, turn in all your gold and... or we'll chop your head off, which is what they did, I think, in Czechoslovakia. They'd shoot you and leave you out in the yard for 4 days as an example. So I think the challenge is to load up with gold and silver now, because they can't, in my opinion, call into the gold and trigger this monetary reform until they first have the dollar crisis. And then as we go into that storm, gold and silver are going to explode upward. The challenge will simply be to start selling off your gold too early. So when you reach a point where you can sell a third of your gold or a half of your gold and silver and pay off your, get out of debt, maybe.
We're out of time, Ron.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's been Ron. Do you want to just finish that thought, and then we'll let you go?
We're just at the point where you're going to have to find a place to sell some of your gold and take care of all your immediate needs. One thing you don't want to do is trade your gold and go back to the dollar that is about to be repudiated. So you're going to have to go to real things with your money.
Amen to that. Well, God bless and thanks so much, Ron. We'll look forward to having you again next month.
Okie dokie.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, that was Ron Brown in Sydney. This is the time when I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you agree with me that we're involved in a political, in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield, why, we hope many of you will decide you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And it's as simple as calling us at 1-800-544-8927 and make whatever pledge you can, and you'll get our four best tapes of the month, or CDs of the month, our monthly newsletter. But more than that, you'll be helping us educate the American people and hopefully bring many of the people into a personal relationship with our Lord, because that's really what this is all about. And then, of course, we certainly want to mention our all-day conference on the 28th of October. And if you can make it, why, please give us a call and make your reservations. If you're going to be coming from elsewhere, you need hotel reservations. We have reserved a block of rooms, but they'll only be there till the 28th of September, and then that's the end. So if you're thinking about coming, give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we certainly recommend, if you want to understand what's going on financially, that you get my pamphlet. It's called The History of Money. That's The History of Money. And then my talk on the financial tsunami. And the syllabus goes along with that, because that'll give you a great overview. The books, The Creature from Jekyll Island. That's The Creature from Jekyll Island. The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton. And lastly, of course, the little book, Fiat Money, Inflation in France. To understand how they play games with our minds, and that you probably think that communism is the enemy, that we were fighting communism when we were in Vietnam. Well, you need to get our little pamphlet called the Communist-Capitalist Alliance. It's a term that Solzhenitsyn had used when he gave a speech before the United Auto Workers back in 1975. But of course, we'll actually give you a great deal of information there and point out how the United States has always funded communism, just as today we're funding the terrorist movement. Somebody has to put up the money, and our good friends in Saudi Arabia and Pakistan and the CIA have created this whole world terrorist movement. Why? Because you have to have an enemy. Our pamphlets called Foreknowledge 911, the set of three pamphlets we think are very important, set of three pamphlets on the occult hierarchy. It tells you who really runs the world. And of course, it explains to you that there is another dimension. And there are people who actually span the dimension between the dimension we live in and the spiritual dimension. So that is the occult hierarchy, and we simply quote from the writings of the people on the other side, those people who are in contact with the supernatural beings or demonic spirits. And then, of course, we have a four-tape set on the supernatural. We have certainly a four-tape set on Satanism and deliverance. We have a great new tape set on satanic crimes in a book by the same title. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And please pray for Radio Liberty.